something we got to be prepared for, something we can't enter into lightly, something we've got to take seriously. And this is just a few things that I've been thinking about and praying about and looking over in my own life, and, you know, just kind of trying to prepare my mind and heart for it, because, you know, the devil's going to try to get in there and try to sow discord and try to get our minds off of what needs to be done in the revival. And also he's going to try to get us focused on ourselves and try to make it about us. And that's not what we need to do. And I just got a few scriptures and some thoughts here, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. And hope as we go into the revival this week, it'll be something that you can kind of hearken back to and think about. And hopefully, you know, God can do some work in our hearts and lives. I think that's what we all want. I know we all want to have God do a work in our hearts and lives, because we're human at best. And far too often there's things in our lives that need to be looked at. We're not looking at them from the right perspective. And if we can get a right perspective where we need to be, then I think God can do something in our lives. And this is certainly not something I have conquered. And this is not something that I know about. I'm talking to myself this morning, but I'm hoping that if I can kind of talk to you all about it and kind of share, we can kind of all work on this together. And God can do great things. I'm being Revelation chapter 3 to start out with. I'm being a few other places as well. But we'll start out in Revelation chapter 3. And there's just some verses here that kind of stood out to me when I was reading through, and I kind of thought about it and kind of developed some topics and some thoughts on it. And Revelation 3, 1 and 2 says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." And I kind of want to talk a little bit about strengthening the things that remain and getting ready for revival. You know, we're in the last days, and God's called us out as a remnant here in these last days. And we're what's remaining right now. We need to be strong in these last days, because there's a lot of things that are coming towards us. And, you know, we got to be watchful. That's what that verse number 2 there says. Be watchful. And think about the passages in the Bible that says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, walked about seeking whom he may devour. We've got to be watching out for the devil. We got to make sure he's not getting in our families. We got to make sure he's not getting in our own hearts and trying to do a work in our and make us think about things that are not right. We got to be strengthened in these things that remain. Then the verse says there that God has not found their works perfect before God. That's something we need to look at. Are our works perfect before God? We need to strengthen those works. Now, we know that good works are not what salvation is. They're the fruit of salvation, but those works need to be perfect. And the way we can have those works perfect is if we are working for something for God. Our works have to be perfect that are done for God. The works we're doing for ourselves, for the flesh, that's not going to be a perfect work before God. And we've heard about revival fires, and that's true, but something we need to think about is how strong is our fire? How vibrant is our fire? How strong is it burning? And what is something we can do to make our fire and our light burn brighter and stronger in these last days? And I think that's the goal of revival, is to strengthen our walk with Christ, is to strengthen the revival fire that we have. That way we can be the light of the world that we need to be. You know, we hear terms such as revive, rekindle, refuel, and other words like that. And that prefix re means that there was something that was already there. There's a fire that's already been started, but now it's dim, it's gone out. And we need to rekindle that fire, and we need to refuel that. We need to revive. That means, revive means to bring back to life or to make the life more. And that's what we need to do. We need to have that in our lives. We need to rekindle that flame. We need to rekindle that desire to be like Jesus. And what we need to do, Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And that verse there is not talking about being perfect and sinless, because as human beings we're not going to be perfect and sinless, and there's no such thing as sinless perfection. But what that verse is talking about is reaching a state of spiritual maturity. It's about reaching a state of spiritual growth and spiritual sanctification. And that's the most important thing. That's what revival is. Revival is sanctifying yourself. It's getting sanctification. It's getting closer to God. It's going from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. It's about being a spiritual adult. And salvation is not a process. You know, there's a lot of people who believe that salvation is a process. You're saved over a gradual amount of time, and that's just not true. That's not according to the Bible, and that's not according to anything that's right. You know, we had one of our former presidents, George Bush, said he was being saved over a gradual amount of time. He said his salvation started when he quit drinking, and God had just done so much work in his life and was saving him over a period of time. That's not what happens. Salvation is instant. The blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our lives and we're saved eternally, but our sanctification process is something that we're going to have to start on day one and do each and every day. It's a battle we've got to face. We've got to face the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's temptations. There's family members that are going to be against us. There's friends, co-workers, different things like that. But we've got to work on our spiritual sanctification if we're going to have to have, if we're going to have revival. And that's what we're wanting to do this week. We want Brother Qualls to come in here, even this morning, tonight, and get those words of God preached to us, draw us closer to Him, to live more like Jesus, to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And that's going to take time. It's not just going to happen overnight. We're not going to wake up one morning, I'm sanctified, I'm where I need to be with Christ. And it's a process. This says day by day, we've got to take up our cross and follow Jesus and be like Him. Ephesians 4:11-16, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all good things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying itself in love. And that right there is what we need to look at. When you look at that verse right there, it says, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. And that's kind of what the topic I want to talk about today is, the perfecting of the saints. And verse 11 says He gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And that's what we're doing this week right now. We've got a preacher coming in for the next 2 weeks. He's going to be teaching us. He's going to be edifying us and trying to help us grow and perfect the saints of Christ. And that's what we're trying to do here. We want to have that happen in our lives. Revival is part of the sanctification process. I think far too often people get a misconstrued idea of what revival really is. Many people think that massive numbers of people getting saved or is revival, and any of that could be part of it. And I think that's a result of revival. But revival is for the church. It's for the people of God. Souls being saved is going to be a result of God's people being where they need to be with Him. And, you know, if we live in a sanctified life, a life that's pleasing to God, and we're striving to serve Him, then we might start seeing some souls saved. You know, and I had a sobering thought the other day. I was thinking, is my lack of spiritual growth and maturity the reason why some of my family haven't gotten saved? Or is it why that is my lack of living for Jesus the reason why some of my coworkers or friends haven't gotten saved? And I think that could be the case, and that's something that we need to think about more often, is, you know, just talking about Jesus and kind of, you know, giving them a token witness or something is not what we need to do. We need to be dedicated to witness. So then we need to be making sure that we're taking care of our own spirituality. That way we can be a proper witness for Him. And, you know, I think some of our lack of spirituality and spiritual growth is the reason why our country is headed down the path it is, because we don't have the fervor that we once had. You know, we can talk about the contemporary churches and the world and all that, and we should talk about that. However, the Bible says that we Christians are supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be something that is preserving the world and being an influence and testimony. But I think we've lost our savor as salt too much, and we're not where we need to be. And there's false teachers, false prophets out there. None of them are ever going to be right, but we're the true believers. We believe what Jesus said when we believe the Bible, and we're the ones that are supposed to be spiritually mature. And God's going to use a spiritually mature Christian. And I think that's the problem we have a lot of times, is when we pray, we're not praying as a spiritual adult. We're praying not expecting God to do anything. And I think that's the problem I've had in my life. I just pray. Well, I prayed and got that done. No, we need to pray and believe that God's going to do something. Because if we pray and believe God's going to do something, He will. And I think it's not a sign of a spiritual mature Christian if they just pray and don't trust God to do anything. A mature Christian says, I'm going to pray. I'm going to leave that in God's hand. I'm going to leave the results up to Him. And I think that's where we need to be. We need to pray and pray believing that God's going to do something, and that's going to be. And that's what we're trying to do with this revival. We prayed. We sought God's face, and we're believing that He's going to send revival to our church. And in our own spiritual hearts and lives, because if we have that mindset, God, you're going to do something, not God might do something, or I hope God does something. We're going to believe that God does something. And when we have that mindset, God's going to do something, because God says that if we pray to him and seek his face, he's going to show himself mighty. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And that's what I want to do. I want to pray believing that God's going to save my family members. I want to pray believing that God's going to send revival to our church. I want to pray believing that God is going to do a work in my own heart and life these next 2 weeks, because that's what I need. And if I pray believing that, then I know God's going to do that. Because this is the most important thing we can have, is to draw closer to Jesus. Because, I mean, that's the ultimate goal of the Christian life, is to be like Christ. And if I want to pray and believe that, then God's going to do something. Then we got to pray. It says, whatsoever ye desire when ye pray. It didn't say if you pray. It said when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And whatsoever things you desire. And that goes for any part of your life. If you desire a closer walk with God, pray for it. If you desire a new job, anything like that, pray and believe that God's going to do it, and he's going to do it. I think our lack of faith is the biggest hindrance to anything in the Christian life. It's the biggest hindrance to revival. It's the biggest hindrance to growing. It's the biggest hindrance to anything, a lack of faith and trusting and believing God. We have to pray that for these services of revival coming up, we want to see God do some great and mighty things, and we've got to believe that he's going to do it. And we've seen him do things in the past, and so we're looking forward to that. You know, we've prayed so many times, and we've not believed like we should. We've prayed and asked God for something, but we may went on about our way, and God still did something, even though our faith wasn't where it would be. Just imagine what God could do if we prayed believing earnestly that he was going to do something. Because God said all we do have to have the faith of a mustard seed, just a small amount of faith, and God can use that to change the whole world. And I think if we started praying and believing more than what he would do, that he's going to do what he said he would do, then I think we can have revival. And I think that's an important part of having revival, is praying, seeking, and believing. And I want to believe that God's going to do something this week. I really do. And I think he's going, I think he wants to. I know he wants to, because God wants to draw us closer to him. And another way we can have revival is to get in the Word. John 17:17-20, talk about sanctification. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for thy sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. John 17:17-20 is a great revival passage if you think about it. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Jesus is the Word of God. We have the Word of God, Jesus, and the Word of God, the Bible. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he's what we have as our salvation. And then we have the Word of God here in the Bible. We need to get more of the Word in our lives. That's another way to have revival. We need to pray and believe, and then we need to get in the Word. And there's three C's of sanctification through the Word. We need to commune with the Word in prayer and reading of the Bible. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need to commune with the Word. We need to talk to the Word, which is Jesus. And we need to commune in the Word of God, the Bible. And we need to ask God to show us things in our lives that are not pleasing to him. Show us how we can be more sanctified, more dedicated Christian. And then another word, C word for sanctification, is we need to convey the Word. We need to share the Word through witness and testimony and living a life that's pleasing to Jesus. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we need to commune with the Word. We need to convey the Word. And then the third one, need to conform to the Word. And Jesus is the Word, and the Bible is the Word. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of men among many brethren. That's what we need to do. We need to conform to the Word if we're going to get spiritual maturity. And we need to live like a life like Jesus. That's the goal, and that's the pattern for every Christian, is to be predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Not predestination for salvation, anything like that, but predestination to be conformed and to live a life like Jesus Christ, because that's what revival really is getting back to where Jesus needs to be. And one last topic I want to look at about revival is getting God back where He belongs in our lives. We need to get back to where we're seeking Jesus, and we need to get Him back at the forefront of our lives. And he referenced this verse earlier, John 12:20-21. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that's what those men did. They had a true and genuine desire to see Jesus. Not only to see Jesus, but to see Him for who He was. And we need to get our love for Jesus. When we look over in Revelation chapter 2, a little bit before where I read earlier, Jesus was writing to the church of Ephesus, and He told them that they had left their first love. They didn't have the passion that they once had. There wasn't a fervent love for Jesus. But they wanted to get that revival. That's what the key to revival is, getting a love, fervent love for Jesus. Falling back in love with Jesus. Our passion and desire to serve Jesus has to be rekindled. We have to let Jesus have free reign in our lives and serve Him. We have to come to say, "Lord, I want You to do something." You know, I think far too often sometimes we say, and it's not a bad thing, we say, "Come to church to see what God's doing." And that's a good thing, but I think we should say, "Come to church and see God. See God work in our lives." Because if we're focused on God, then we're going to see what He's doing. And He's going to do something in our lives if we got our focus on Him. And we say, "Come see God." Because far too often I think we get wrapped up in what God's doing and we get our focus off of Him. We need to keep our focus on Him. You know, Jesus was walking on the water, and when Peter was looking at Him, that was fine, but he started looking around, seeing things, and his focus got off, and God was still doing something, but he was focused. He wasn't focused where he needed to be. And we need to come see God, and then when we see God, we're going to see Him do great and mighty things in our lives. And I think we need to keep our focus on Him. We need to fall back in love with Jesus. John 14:15, this is kind of a key point I want to make here. It says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." And we think about that, and that's not a manipulative scripture there. You know, we think sometimes, "Well, if you really love Me, you would do blah, blah, blah." No, that's not what that verse is saying. That verse says, "If you love Me, if you truly love Me, and I'm where I'm at in your life, and I'm at the forefront of life, you won't have any problem keeping My commandments." And that's what that verse is talking about. If we have a true vision of who Jesus really is, and if we fall back in love with Jesus and we have a revival in our hearts and lives, we won't have any problem keeping His commandments. We won't have any problem serving Him. We won't have any problem being a witness and a testimony for Christ. And, you know, that's that verse, there's no manipulative there. God's not going to manipulate you. He's not going to give you a promise that has a strings attached to it. But He's given us the free will. Said, "If you truly love Me, and if you want to have Me where I need to be in your life, then you'll keep My commandments." And you know, that's the problem I think we all have, is we get Jesus out of the place where He needs to be in our lives, and then we start focusing on other things. You know, as men and husbands and wives, if we have a love for our wives or our husbands, then we'll serve them like we should, and we'll take care of their needs. But if we don't, if we filled something else up with the love that we should have for them, or something's taking their place, then we're not going to be the proper husband or wife that we need to be. And, you know, that's the foundation for revival right there, is loving Jesus and getting back to where we need to be with Him. We're not going to have any trouble. And if we don't have Jesus where He needs to be, it's going to stun our growth. It's going to stun our maturing process and our perfecting process. And revival is all about falling back in love with Jesus. It's about getting Him back where He needs to be, in the rightful place. And if we have, you know, the old nature in our life, if we feed it, it's naturally going to go astray. But the new nature we have, if we feed it, it's naturally going to follow Jesus. And it's all about the where we have and what we're feeding ourselves spiritually and what we need to do in our lives. You know, because if we have Jesus right, then we're going to be serving Him more, and we're going to grow, we're going to mature, we're going to have things happen in our life that need to be happening. And Jesus said His power is made perfect in weakness. And that's what we need to do. We need to weaken ourselves. We don't need to puff ourselves up, make ourselves seem like something big and bad, because we're really not. We're not. We need to love Jesus more. And, you know, love equals sacrifice. And if we sacrifice ourselves a little bit, then Jesus can do something in our hearts and lives. Romans 12 says we should be a living sacrifice. The reason it says it's a living sacrifice is because being a living sacrifice is a choice. that we have to make a living sacrifice, chooses to lay down on the altar and sacrifice and dedicate his life. A dead sacrifice just does whatever the person does. Animals laid on the altar and is sacrificed. But if we're a true living sacrifice, it's going to be something that we have to do. We're going to have to crawl on the altar. We're going to have to get in and say, Jesus, I love you. I want to serve you. I want to be dedicated to you. And, you know, we want to be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That way we can prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But we have to sacrifice ourselves. And if we truly love God, we'll have to weaken ourselves. Because in Corinthians 12, 19 through 20, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, as in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If we weaken ourselves, then the strength of God is going to show up in our lives. We got to fall back in love with Him, and He can start doing something in our lives. You know, we may have, when we sacrifice, it may be hard on us. We may have a hard time, but that's right there. It says we can pleasure in our infirmities. Why? Because Christ is getting the honor, the glory, and the recognition that He should. And if we have revival in our lives, we can have peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. If our mind is stayed on Jesus, he's going to keep us in perfect peace. If we have Jesus where he needs to be, if we're loving him, if we're communing in his word, and we're trying to work on our spiritual maturity and our growth, then we're going to have perfect peace, because God's going to be doing exactly what he needs to do in our life. And that perfect peace, talking about that and talking about falling in love with Jesus and keeping his commandments, made me think of the verse that Brother Kinsey preached out of a couple times, Psalm 119, 165, says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And if we love the law, if we love Jesus, if we're keeping his commandments, and we have revival, then nothing's going to offend us. We're not going to get offended by little things. The infirmities that we have, the sacrifices we have to make, they're not going to offend us, because we love Jesus more than that. And we love him, and it's not going to be something big or bad for us in our lives, because, hey, Jesus is where he needs to be. He's going to take care of us, and we can have peace. But it all goes back to loving Jesus and loving his law, keeping his commandments, and having him in the preeminent part of our life. Because if we do that, that's when we can have revival. And we're not going to have revival if we don't love Christ. We're not going to have revival if we don't love the law of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're not obeying him, if we're not listening to him, if we're not communing in the word, if we're not conveying the word, and that's what we need to do. We need to have Christ working in our lives. We need to love his law. We need to love him, follow his commandments, and he's going to send revival in our lives. And we need to fall back in love with Christ. And I think that if we fall back in love with Jesus and get the fervent desire to serve him like we did, we can have revival in our own personal lives. We may not have revival as a country. I personally don't think we ever will, because I think there's too much, you know, sin in our lives. But the thing about it is, if Christians across our country start having personal revival, something might could happen. God is not limited to when he can send revival, to who he can send revival to, where he can send revival, but it all starts right here in our hearts. And if we get him back on the throne in our lives, the forefront of our lives, we're going to have to do that. And, you know, dying to self is not something fun. It's not easy. You know, sacrificing yourself is not, it's not a human nature to sacrifice yourself. You're looking after number one. And I'm just as guilty as that, anybody in here. But when we start thinking about how Jesus sacrificed himself for us, it's a lot easier to sacrifice ourselves for him, because he was publicly shamed, he was beaten, he was called names, he was crucified. I mean, if you think about it, somebody laughing at us for handing out a gospel tract, that's not so bad. Because, you know, and the thing about it is, if we hand out a gospel tract and serve Jesus, he's promised to reward us for doing that. So it's a pretty good deal if you think about it. And, you know, I was talking to Jacob a couple weeks ago. We're out on visitation. You know, it's a little scary going and knocking on somebody's door or trying to pass out a tract. You know, your flesh doesn't like it. But if you die to yourself and you truly love Jesus, then it'll be a lot easier to do it. And, you know, you think about the shame and humility that he had to go through to save our souls, and it's a lot easier to serve him. And I think that, you know, revival is getting our focus back on Jesus more than anything. Obviously, we need to get sin out of our lives, but if we focus on Jesus, there will be sin getting out of our lives. So I think the crux of revival is just loving on Jesus more. And we don't lose that first love. We think about the fervency we had when we first got saved. And we know we wanted to tell everybody about it. We wanted to, you know, just go to church every day and read the Bible. We wanted to, you know, just be a missionary to every country in the world. But then we kind of got slack and we didn't love Jesus as much. We didn't read the Bible like we should. We didn't tell people like we should. We didn't love the law of the Lord, the commandments he gave us in the Bible. And we now something like gets offended us too. But now we need to love the law of the Lord. We have great peace because we're being perfected and we're loving him and he's where he needs to be. That's a true revival. Revival is dying to self and loving Jesus. And I think that's what we want to do. And, you know, if you want to make a Mike Qualls title on that, dying to live or dying for survival, something like that. But, you know, that's going to be the key to this revival is if we die to ourselves and put Jesus back on the throne of our hearts where he needs to be, getting things out of our life, distractions and, you know, disappointments, different things like that. Don't be focused. Don't make the revival about us. Make it about him. And then something's going to be done. So I hope that was encouragement and help to you this morning. Fall back in love with Jesus, and there's no telling what God might do in our revival services coming up.